Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk Radio only. I can do here. I guess let me play the intro for. We'll try the audio thing in a minute, and we'll roll this one. Here we go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yes.
It is partially on. It is partially on.
Thank you, bus people. Now shut up. Hear me? Yeah,
come on. Come on, bus people. That's enough, bus people.
That's enough. All right. Now, I have the All About Wine. We're having audio problems here, folks. So I have the All About Wine Facebook page pulled up. And it came on, and then it said, live video interrupted. The broadcast has been paused. It should resume shortly. And that's it. That's where it's sitting right now.
Okay. So you should get something now. Looks like it's on Facebook.
Nothing's coming through. It hasn't reanimated.
Right. Yeah, it might take a minute to catch up.
We'll see what happens.
You did not hear that audio.
No, I didn't. Until you hit the little button, played it.
All right. Well, when you see the video pop up, then you should wait a little bit, and you should hear hopefully the audio.
We'll see. We have a guest tonight, people. AJ Ojeda Pons. I guess it's Ojeda. Ojeda? Ojeda?
Ojeda? Ojeda?
Ojeda?
Could be Ojeda.
Yeah, Ojeda? It could be. Could be. It's Venezuelan, so, it's hard to. All About Wine Live.
You see the scroll?
It's scrolling on the bottom, yeah. But.
Okay. I think we have somebody on now.
We sure do. Let me go and get him. Hello, AJ. Welcome to All About Wine.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing, guys?
We're having a audio problem on one of our feeds, so Mike's working on that. Well, we can still talk. I guess it's going out, isn't it, on Blog Talk Radio? So,
yeah.
We don't have a problem there. But okay, well, we'll let Mike work on that, and you and I can talk, and we'll let him, make – oh, wait a minute. I think it's coming through on the – it is coming through on the Facebook page. I hear it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's
good. Yeah. Right, we're good. Actually, when I saw the calendar invite, it had a Google Meet on it, so I was not sure if it was Google Meet or like make a phone call.
Make a phone call. We don't do that Google Meet stuff. That's confusing for us.
No, we should, though. That would be an alternative for sure.
That would be. That might be something we can look into there, too. We're not – we've only been doing this for 10 years. We're not there yet. So
that's true.
It takes us time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We were just talking, AJ, about right before you came on, the pronunciation of your last name, Ojeda, Ojeda, what is it?
It's Ojeda, Ojeda Pons.
Ojeda. You were right, Mike. It is Ojeda. Yeah, very
Ojeda
good.
Ojeda Pons, yeah. It's you know, it's Spanish, but you know, the Ponce is Catalan, so yeah, we get a little bit of a mix.
I see. Okay. Yeah, then being Spanish, the J is pronounced as H, and so you got all that. So, all right, very good. Well, again, thank you for taking your time out tonight and joining us. I was looking forward to talking with you. You have yourself quite a resume, not just in wine, but in other things, too, that's really impressive.
Indeed, yeah.
I
almost forgot about the podcast today. I was running around the restaurant. It's like really, really packed up there right now. And I was just like, I got to find a quiet spot to sit down. And I just don't, we don't even have like an office or anything. So I'm in some like little room in the basement.
Well, it's better than the bathroom. You're not echoing in the, you know, you would echo in the bathroom. So it's not that. Well, good. I'm glad you found a quiet spot. What I would like you to do is tell us about your life up to wine. I mean, I see you study classical music and you play every instrument that is ever invented and all that other stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess when right out of college, I was working. My dad's a pilot, so he had helped me find a job at the airport at the time, and I was working in a fixed base operation where I was handling a lot of like the hospitality aspects and for private jets that were flying in and taking care of all the catering and hotels and all sorts of things. And then I was really interested in that, and everybody thought that I was going to be a pilot like my dad. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to school to become a flight dispatcher, to get a license as a flight dispatcher. And then I realized that I didn't like it as much. So at the same time, I was at the conservatory. I was studying music, and my dream had been to become a great composer or conductor with a big, you know, long hair and conducting some great orchestra. So I did that for many, many years since we were kids, actually, my brother and I. So after I finished with this airport stuff, I flew to Germany because I wanted to like survey the conservatories over there, and I had many good things. So I traveled all throughout Germany and the Czech Republic, and then I flew back to New York, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna kind of like sit here in New York and do it here. So I started working at a music post-production studio, doing mixing and recording. So because I was interested in learning the technology part of music, not just the composition. And I mean, I studied piano, harpsichord, bassoon, clarinet. I used to sing as a countertenor. Everything that was like classical music driven, but. Then I was just like, well, you know, the new technology is coming up and I want to learn how to compose like using the new technology. So I basically took this job as a music post-production studio engineer, junior engineer. And then right after that, September 11 happened and the studio closed and we were all out of jobs. And so that's basically where my restaurant career started. And my first job at a restaurant was as a reservationist at Tribeca Grill back in the day. And from then on, I always had an interest in wine, and remember that the wine classes happened right behind the hostess stand. And I was always like listening to them. And, you know, we kind of had a bringing with wine, you know, and having wine at the table at lunch and things like that. So with my family growing up, but I had never really put like the two and two together in terms of like origin and grape varieties and all those things. You know, I kind of knew what the good wine was because it's what my dad ordered at restaurants, you know?
Yeah. So you, after all that time and everything in the classical music and in the music world and all that, you just said, this is enough, and you went into wine.
Not into wine. I went into restaurants initially. You know?
Restaurant.
So, and then just kind of, I was just interested in that aspect of hospitality since I already had done something like that before.
Oh, right.
And then And then kind of, you know, so I started going up and up the ladder, you know, so from a host to the restoration, so a host to a maitre d', then I went to be an assistant manager and so on, and then until I got to the right top, and then I realized that I didn't want to be a corporate manager. So I decided to take a couple steps back. Yeah, I just, you know, I just felt like, you know, I don't want to be a corporate babysitter. So I just decided to take a few steps back and kind of just dedicate to wine. You know, just decided to apply for an assistant sommelier position with like the little knowledge that I had from all the books that I had read and whatnot. And then I went to take on my WSET advanced course, and that was back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And after that, I went directly to the advanced, passed it, and then I went on from then.
So you're working, I noticed in a note I have here that you're working on your Diploma of Wine and Spirits certification.
I'm finished with that.
Oh, yes. You finished that. So
I am finished, yeah. So that was one of the greatest things that 2020 gave me. It's the time to study. Because,
yeah.
You know, I was furloughed from my last job then, and so I had all the time in the world to, like, taste and revisit things that I had not tasted before. And just kind of like study and prepare. And the tests happened earlier this year, 2021.
Oh, so you do have your certification now. You are a master sommelier then.
Well, not quite.
I know yet.
The test, yeah, because the test is in two parts. So I know that the tasting portion I already passed with merit, and mm-hmm. I'm just waiting on the results of the theory part. So
uh-huh.
It takes too long because they send them out to London, to get graded over there. The WSET is based out of London.
Oh, okay. So you're still waiting. Well, you know, you got it made. You know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm right there. You know, the doorstep.
Yes, you're at the doorstep. So you're working at a restaurant now that you just opened.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So it is a wine bar, it's on Carmine Street called Temperance Wine Bar. And the concept was to open a wine bar where every single wine was served by the glass. So rather than just having a selection by the glass and a selection by the bottle, we opened it up to every single wine available by the glass. And so initially when I was approached with this, the first question was, how many glasses would you put on the list? And I said, well, how about 100? And they said, you think you could do that? And he said, it's a little much. And I said, no, I absolutely could do it. No problem at all. And then I quickly realized that 100 was not enough. So
This
has more than 100 now. I think it's 126 at the moment. And it keeps evolving. You know, I think I'm going to be changing it every 3 months.
Changing the offerings and
yeah, so rotating selection, you know, so not just the seasonal, but also seeing what the trends are, and but the focus of the wine list really is to shine a light on all the off the beaten path great varieties of the world and the lesser known wine regions, lesser known countries or countries that you may not know. So wine producing countries, so trying to stay really, really far away from the mainstream. It's not a museum wine list where you're going to have like 10 pages of Bordeaux and Burgundy and whatnot, so, but it's just really every great variety that you probably don't even recognize, but that actually has an incredible amount of personality and quality.
That sounds exciting. That sounds absolutely wonderful to be able to do that, because so often you want to try a wine and yet you have no idea what it's going to be like or anything, and that way you can do a taste of it and or a region and understand a little bit more about it. Do you 125 wines, how do you preserve them? What do you do?
I knew that was the next question that was coming. That's just sort of the first thing that people ask. So with the founders, Jonathan and Devin, you know, when we were sitting down, kind of like designing everything and what was going to happen. We were, you know, here in the construction site, basically inhaling sheetrock and sawdust. Day after day, we were kind of like, well, how are we going to do this? And so initially my thought was, okay, well, Coravin obviously is one of the things that we have to have. So for the premium pours, but and then Coravin has another model called the Pivot.
Yeah, just
which
just,
you know, which actually I imagined it was going to be really great and efficient, and every wine steward was going to have one in their pockets, and it was going to make the wine service really great. Unfortunately, I noticed that when you switch the Pivot from bottle to bottle, there's always like a little bit of wine left over in the spout or in the needle, so there's cross contamination. And I didn't think that was the best plan, and also the gas cost is ridiculous. But I was able to manage it. But what we decided was to invest in the Bermar system, La Verre du Vin, which it's a dual tower that allows me to pressurize the sparkling wines to the exact amount of pressure that it needs so that the bottles don't go flat. And also the second system has special stoppers that extract the atmosphere from the bottle and then preserve the bottles for 3 weeks or so.
Wow.
We haven't had the need to actually preserve the wine for 3 weeks because we're moving it constantly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that, yeah. So you're not using nitrogen on anything. You're using the other system then.
Yeah, the Bermar. Yeah. The Bermar uses CO tanks. So, and with a 20-liter tank, it's lasted me for about 2.5 months. So it's really efficient. So it's the best way to, and we constantly pump the bottles throughout the service so that they're always the freshest glasses being poured.
Mm. Wow. It's so many. You hear about these wine bars, and I've always wondered how they're going to, give us a fresh glass of wine of what we want. What is your price range on a glass of wine?
Oh, it's quite wide because we have 8 wines on tap also. So having wines on kegs allows me to have a lot of the entry level wine. So they usually start around $8 a glass. And then, so the average is like $8-$9 for the, and then the list starts around $10-$11, and it goes all the way up to like the splurge page, where you can be spending $130-$150 in a glass of wine. So,
wow.
So the idea for me is that, if you're coming in here trying to find like what normally find in a wine bar, you know, so the same, your same Cabernet, your same Pinot Noir, your same Pinot Grigio, et cetera, you're not going to find that in the list proper, right? But you are going to find that on the splurge page because, you know, if you really want a Cabernet, I'm going to give you some of the best ones that you can find. But I'm really trying to like steer you into 30, 40 other grape varieties that like and have the same characteristics and that you probably have never tried before.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. You get people away from the old standard default wine that they're so used to.
Yeah. You're going to get out of the box, you know what I mean? It's like, so I understand there's a comfort zone, you know, when somebody goes to a wine bar and, you know, they see all this and they don't recognize any of these grapes and, you know, in your mind, it's whatever you're used to be drinking or the grape that you remember how to pronounce. But over here, it really is all about exploring. And we have a terrific staff and we're super friendly and they're knowledgeable and helpful. And we get you to taste a few things. And it's just kind of like experience. The idea is to create an experience that is really individual in terms of like if you just want to do wine tasting or you want to do food and wine pairing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have I hate to say flight. I mean, that's the word that's used a lot in wineries. But you have anything like that that somebody can come in and say, okay, I like to try 4 different wines?
People have asked about that. And I think that works best in in a wine bar where, you know, maybe you can, like, not everything is available by the glass, so you can create a flight of, let's say, like, some special thing. I mean, there's so many wines on the list that to create a flight sometimes it's kind of like moot. there isn't really a specific flight. We do have a sort of like a blind tasting that we do with wines that are not on our current menu, just to kind of get people to play on the blind tasting aspects in terms of whether it's like all white or all red or a combination of both. But flights per se of the wines that we have on the list, no. You can create your own flight by having a couple glasses of wine.
There you go. That will work. What is the temperance is just wine? I mean, you have food, you have...
We do indeed, yeah. So we hired a consultant chef, Chris Jekyll, to consult on the menu, the opening menu, and it really is just a small menu of small shareable bites, small dishes, kind of almost like tapas style. But you know, there's cuisine from all over the world. It's a touch of Asian, a touch of Mediterranean, a touch of Mexican. So there's different dishes with all sorts of different flavors, which allows us to be very versatile with the pairing. Right. So the idea is that you can grab any item on the menu and pair it with, you know, 15 wines and vice versa. You know, the idea was to kind of create something that was very fluid and not, you know, that you have to sit down and have an appetizer and a main course and a dessert. Right. So if you want to just come in and have two glasses of champagne and have a little bite of something, you are able to do that. If you want to have a more substantial meal, you just keep on ordering bites, and it becomes a good meal. So.
Mm-hmm. And you get the variety of all sorts of different regions, which would match perfectly with whatever wine you want to try too. I mean,
correct. And all those cuisines, you know. So let's say if you were trying to one of the dishes that has the more Mediterranean aspects of it. So there's a lot of wines that we have from, you know, and whether it's like Italy, Greece, or Cyprus, or Morocco, that, you know, Lebanon, or other places like that that you may not think of that actually pair really nicely with the dish.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So the idea is to have within the hundreds, so 100 plus wines by the glasses, every method of production, right? So whether it's like all the methods of production for sparkling wine, sherry, fortified, rosé, orange wines, extended skin contact, and then your traditional still whites and still reds, and sweet wines too. We have a great selection of sweet wines in a range of sweetness too, so that because they're terrific wines to pair with food, and the idea is to kind of lose that fear of a wine having residual sugar.
Yeah, and you know it tends to be that the wine snobs, if you will, are the ones that say, "Oh, I don't like sweet wines; it's too sweet." And there definitely is a place for them if they just, you know, open up and give it a chance. So,
for me, it's just kind of like if you drink your frappuccino from somewhere, or if you're drinking your cherry cola or whatever. Those beverages have way much sugar than like any of the sweet wines that we have on the list. So. It's about kind of like putting that into comparison and being like, hey, look, if you go drink your caramel macchiato somewhere, that has like 600 times more sugar than like any of the wines that I'm going to serve you here. So,
yeah. So it's not really that sweet. It's just the connotation of sweet wine, and I think it turns people off. Yeah.
I think it's historic. I always think of it, you know, like you kind of have to think of like of the past and how people used to drink back in the day when you couldn't get fine wines, you know, what America, because America is such a young wine drinking country, right? You know, you don't think of it as like, you know, if you compare it to Europe, they've been drinking wine for centuries, right? Over here, it's like, you know, it's just after the 50s, basically, that we're drinking wine. So we're still learning, right? So. What you could get in the 60s and in the 70s in that generation, you know, was generally like the Liebfrau milk and like some of the crappy ones from Italy. You wouldn't get like any of premium wines from Germany, Austria, Portugal, Spain, but not. It was just very limited availability, right? So
that's
I think all of that comes to that historic aspect, right? That, like what this older generation that might be like, well, I don't like sweet wine. It's something that maybe you have learned from your past.
And that's a good point, too, because the sweet wines, I remember in my youth were, like you say, the Liefermilchen and a whole bunch of horrible wines, if you really look at it, but that's
right.
What we grew up on. And because
Blue
we grew
Nun
up on,
and all of that, right?
Yeah, there you go. You know, that's another one.
Yeah, and then when I think of, like, the myriad of great wines that you find, for instance, Portugal is another country that, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, it was only, like, Mateus, right? Mateus, Rosé, and the other thing that you
yeah.
could get, like, the. So nobody was thinking of, like, Portugal as a still wine making country besides, like, Port and Mateus, right? So yeah.
That's it.
For me, I try to, like, I always go back to the origin, but at the same time, like, history is really important to me. And this is something that, you know, I trained the staff also very well into kind of, like, learning how the grapevine spread out throughout the world in history, you know, since 6,000 years ago. And how that has affected, who we are as wine drinkers now and the styles of wine that are produced.
How many staff members do you have?
So the OGs are six people, right? The six wine stewards, and then we have two bartenders. So our team, it's very homogenous. We don't... It's just wine stewards and bartenders, you know, equally.
Mm-hmm.
And their roles can be switched around any time, right? They're interchangeable.
Oh.
And there are they have different levels of certifications. Some people mm-hmm. came in here with, like, no knowledge, and our incentive was to. Fund their WSET certifications, and the longer they wanted to stay with us, we would continue to funding the next level and so on, as long as they pass the test, right? So,
fantastic.
One of our team members just passed his intermediate, and now he's going for the advanced. We have another one that's going from the advanced to the diploma. So people are of different levels, but... We try not to be kind of like the old school sommelier, you know, with the uniform and all that. We're just kind of like the friendly neighborhood wine bar where you can come and try everything. So right now we just hire a couple more people because we're starting to get really busy. So we need a little extra hand. So we have a couple ladies that have joined us also in different levels of knowledge to. We're increasing the team, I think, you know. So,
well, that's
but
great.
It's just that it's just it's. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to say being able to pursue the certification in wine, I don't think there's any place I've ever known that does something like that. I mean, it you know we'll pay for your college, but you know we'll get you more experienced and more knowledgeable in wine is a great idea. I like that.
Yeah, education is a big part of temperance. Even before the opening, once we had settled on the staff that we had hired, we spent very long weeks or very long days when we were, you know, I was just teaching the staff going through PowerPoint presentations and basically tasting 10, 12 wines every single day, right? So the idea
wow.
was to, you know, so even before we had the liquor license and all of that. I had my reps kind of drop off samples so that of the wines that I was going to serve so that we can put them in a tasting and either taste them blind or like taste them with slides so that we could, you know, see the origin of the wine. So every one of the staff members participated in every one of the classes right up to the opening. So they already had a solid education, I think, right before. And I follow sort of like the same format of the WSET, and I had a lot of material for that. And so like right when we opened, we had a lot of people, and I think it helped them also. You know, once they went to take the certifications, they had already some some base knowledge from the things that they have learned here.
Yeah, it would make a difference. During serving, do your staff members talk to the customers about the origins and the grapes and all that, or do I mean? Do you understand? My question is here. As I'm sitting there and I order wine, would I want to have someone tell me all about the origin and all that? Or do you have customers that ask about it? Or do you have some that prefer not to know, just serve me the wine? What?
It's a mix, you know. Like, some people are here on a date, you know, and they don't want to be interrupted. So they just kind of, you know, order the wine quietly. And then, you know, they just don't want to be disturbed. But some other people are just much more engaged and really, really want to know all the details about the wine. And we get a lot of, like, wine people coming in here, too. So that's another – you can't escape that, right? You know, the people that are maybe studying on their own or going to another certification, or people that are just looking to explore – so they're just really interested in knowing a lot of the details of the wine. So my goal, which we achieved, was to just make sure that no wine that's on the list it's on the list without the staff knowing fully about the wine. You know, so we have a good database of information that we keep digitally, where we keep all the information. They get notifications and. Every time that I make a little change, they will get a little ping on their phones, and they'll see the new wine that I changed or added or removed, and then we'll taste them together. We taste wine every day. We sit down to eat together. In the beginning, you know, we were when we were like the young team, so I would come in early and, you know, we're in new places, almost like a mom and pop place, I would say. And I would come in early and I would set up the place, and then I would go to the kitchen and I'll help cook the family meal, and then we'll sit down to eat. And then I will just pull some wines from the list, or I will ask the staff, I say, hey, what do you want to drink today? Let's pull two wines, a white and a red and whatever, and we'll sit down at a table with whatever food we had, whether it was takeout or something that we cooked. And then we just talk about the wines and the aspects of food and wine pairing with the food that we had in front of us, right? So that kind of always keeps them refreshed in terms of, like, remembering, like, the wines that we have. Because with over 122, you're bound to forget one or two, right?
Constantly tasting,
constantly, like, eating and tasting and kind of putting that into your memory bank, then you're golden.
Yeah, and it gives you an opportunity. I'm looking at your menu now. This is really quite a diversified menu. I can see what you're saying about different areas and all that. And this looks like more than just finger food here. You've got things like duck meatballs and Lebanese lamb burger.
Yeah. So there are a few things. Everything is, like I said, shareable bites, right? But nothing is really like an entree. You're never going to get, like, you know, a tomahawk steak or something like that, right? You know, so it's all going to be like things that people can share. The meatballs, you get what, 5-7 meatballs in a tiny, in a plate, and people can share, or you can have them on your own and whatnot. Mm. The burger is something we recently added, you know, since we have, our chef Ahmed Saloui, who is from Morocco. So he's been adding a touch of that spice from the Mediterranean to a few of the dishes, and he's terrific. And you know, little by little, he's just been making tweaks to the menu, and it's great because, you know, obviously adapting to the seasons and the flavors and the wines at the same time.
Are you to the point where you're turning customers away because you're full?
Yes, we are, especially in the weekend. So, initially, when we first opened, we did not have a reservation system, so we were handling everything in-house, which ended up being totally normal. But we are at that stage that now we're working through Resi since the beginning of October. And now we basically book ahead like a week in advance. And,
wow.
But we still take walk-ins, right? But In the weekends, we're in such a neighborhood, like the West Village is so vibrant, right? And so we get a lot of walk-ins. I think 65 to 70% of our business is walk-ins.
Oh, wow. That's quite a bit.
And,
then.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I've seen it. Well, you know, we only have a handful of tables. Our capacity is 74, seats on the table. So, but constantly, it's a constant flow for the bar and groups. And it's been really, really great. I'm very, very happy. So, and
I
hope
imagine.
It continues.
I'm sure
but, yeah,
it will.
Yeah, at some point, to tell you, you know, the past 2 weeks we didn't have someone at the door, you know, so I was manning the door and greeting people and getting the tables, et cetera, whatnot. And then I just realized that I was to a point where, like, I just have no place for people to sit down. So it's a good evil, right? You know. We run a wait list now, so if you kind of just want to walk around the block and wait for someone to finish a glass of wine, yeah, we get you a table, and you'll be good.
Okay. Mike, do you have any questions for AJ out there? We got to wait until Mike finds us again here.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay.
There he is.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm still making changes here, but no, everything's good. I was just working on some audio stuff, listening in, taking notes, and I think I've got now. So
good.
No, everything's good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's coming through on Facebook. I checked again, and everything's coming
through. I did check that, too. I did check. No. I saw the closed captioning or something that it does, so that's good.
Yeah, and I hear the voices coming through and all that, so I can hear us.
Good.
Great.
Okay. Everything's
good. No, I appreciate
it. Thank
you. Very knowledgeable with what you've done. It's amazing. And the way you treat your staff and everything. I just, it's really good.
I think one of those things is, and I think we, right at the beginning when we were doing the interviews with all the team members, I basically was just like defining how the service was going to go and the type of hospitality that we wanted to have. And some of it stemmed from the fact that, you know, we were all holed up in our homes during 2020, right? And people still had that fear of going out. And so for me, it's just kind of welcoming every person that walks in through the door as if they were coming to my house to a house party or my birthday, you know, and just giving them the best welcoming that they can have. And anybody can choose wherever they'd like to sit. You know, we don't accept tables for anybody. You have the ability to choose your own experience and be comfortable. It's just kind of that sort of, you know, we want to welcome you because, I 2020 was just such a blip with the pandemic and whatnot. And so for us, it was just kind of trying to make something different and just, you know, just you're coming home and we're going to take care of you. We're going to plan with you. We're going to get you something to eat. We're going to get you something to drink and, you know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. We'll take care of you. That's the idea.
I might have missed this part of it. How many guests can you have in Temperance, or did I miss that?
So our capacity is 74 guests, and that includes the staff. To tell you the truth, you know. So if every seat in the space is that, but yeah, it would be 74 people. Obviously the patio doesn't count there. And right now, you know, we're just waiting for heaters for the patio. But during the summer, the patio was just completely packed every single night. You know, it was the greatest extension of the space, you know. And we also do a lot of events. We book a lot of events and wine tastings and birthday parties and happy hours. And we've just been open for 3 months. It's pretty insane.
That's amazing. Yeah. 3 months, you're already this advanced in it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I noticed here that you got – go on.
No, go on, John.
I'm looking at your site, and I'm perusing through all of it. But you got an event coming up. Was it not this weekend, but next weekend there?
Next weekend, the Pecking House Takeover. So, Chef Eric Kwan is going to come over. He'll take over the kitchen. They sent out all the dishes that they're going to be served ahead of time a couple of weeks ago, and I was able to sit down and, you know, taste it. I put a bunch of, like, wine in front of me, maybe, like, 30 or 40 bottles, and I just kind of, like, started, like, tasting and pouring, tasting and eating, and that's how I designed the pairings that are going to go with each one of the dishes. So you'll get a chance to have something on a more affordable price point, or you can splurge on something nicer if you want to, too. That will be a great pairing. So that's on the 13th and the 14th. We're sold out already, to tell you the truth.
Oh,
We looked at the book this morning, and there's way over 200 and some people already booked. So that is way over our capacity for that.
Way
night.
Over.
So so we are, we probably have three or four seatings as many as we can fit. Turn and board.
Really good.
And the next day we'll do the same, and it should be super, super popular. We're very excited to be doing this, actually. I think it's a great collaboration. Just putting, like, the culinary and the wine minds together to offer the guests a great experience.
Some wines just lend themselves to food. I mean, it's just so easy to sip a glass of wine and enjoy it. But then when you pair it with the right food, it becomes an experience, not just enjoyment, but an actual epiphany. Sometimes, because the food will bring out the wine and the wine will bring out the food, and it seems like
Correct.
You're
yes.
attempting to do that.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. And I usually tell that to people, although I said, you know, you got to make sure that you think that the food will change the flavor of the wine and the wine will change the flavor of the food. So you really have to work on, like, but in the end, you know, people are going to drink what they like to drink, right? You know, I'm not going to be preachy about it and be like, oh, you got to drink this because, you know, I'm the shaman. So for me, it's like, this is what I suggest, but if you want to go otherwise, feel free, right? So
yeah. That, I'll just disconnect that.
The last thing I would say, and probably you noticed that, and I am supremely honored. And I'm very proud of the team and everything they've done, and, you know, the list itself. And so in such a short period of time, you know, we were awarded first the best regional wine list for North America.
Wow.
By the World of Fine Wine. So and after that, we were competing for the global best new wine list. And so the award ceremony was last November 1st, and we won. We were
Fantastic.
Up against one of the wine bars, the Jumeirah Essex in London. So we are now the world's best new wine list for 2021.
Congratulations.
And we also got 2 stars for that. So yeah, I'm very, very thrilled, and I wasn't expecting anything really. So this is just it's a blessing indeed.
It's quite an honor. Congratulations. That really is.
Well, thank you.
It really is quite great. And look at us. We've got you as a guest on our program after that too. One of the first ones.
I'm blown away. I tell you the truth. Like, when they first told me, like, yeah, you got the best regional for North America, and I'm like, yeah, no way. And I finally looked it up on the website, and I was like, oh my God, it's true. And then, you know, every winner kind of goes against the next one, and then we got this award. So yeah, it's keeping coming. I want all these wines to have a voice. You know, for me, I always compare it to music. I assemble a wine list like I assemble a composition. You have to love the right instrument, the right amount of instrument, the right amount of, like, textures and colors, and then and that's how the harmony works, right? And then I just let it play.
Yeah.
So every one of these great varieties has a voice, and I just wanted to have a voice.
Well, I'm just gonna say, do you still do any music, or has
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, I still play in the house. I mean, I have my piano at home, and I play the organ also. And in terms of composition, very little. You know, it's a thing that it requires a lot of my time. And right now, that's something that the every day that passes, I have the less off. It's a time. And in the weekends, on my days off, I in the mornings, you know, I play and practice a little bit. You know, so there's always music in my head, right? So it's something I can't avoid. But yeah, you know, for me, it's just kind of, you know, I think, like, when I think of how I chose to select these great varieties and this wines from these places, I've always had an affinity for obscure classical music too, you know, like lesser known composers, lesser known eras that people might not like look for, you know, kind of stay away from the classical period but just kind of go pre-Baroque or like pre-classical, and finding out all these composers that most people don't listen to. And I have fallen in love with so many of them and so many of their pieces and music that I constantly play on, you know, when I'm at home.
Mike does a DJ program, and he's very good about picking up artists that are off the mainstream also. And so when you were saying that just reminded me of him and his approach.
Indie music. Yep.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
independent artist.
It's kind of like the indie classical.
Mm-hmm.
The indie
classical. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, that's, you know, when you were talking about just something different that most people don't listen to, that's great. There's a lot of great music out there in that area that is not well noted, so it's good that you enjoy it too. Let's see, I was going to say something there and I lost my train of thought. Let me go back.
I was looking at your location, in case anyone is wondering. You are like right in Manhattan.
Yes.
You are, it looks like,
in the heart
just
of the West
east
Village.
Of Yeah, south of Greenwich Village, east of Pier 40, it looks like, at Hudson River Park, you're east of that, near
so
Washington
we're on
Square
40
Park.
Carmine,
yeah.
And right by West
mm-hmm.
Fort, so West Fort Street, which is like, I will tell you, the key point there, we're basically a block away from that, and we're also a couple blocks away from 7th Avenue, so Christopher Street, so and Washington Square Park. So area, you know, it's really, we're right dead center here. So it's very neighborhoody. And, you know, we get a lot of locals, a lot of neighbors that come over, like even from upstairs and all the buildings nearby. So, and you can bring your dog if you want to, be in the patio, you bring the dog.
Yeah. When I had the winery, we were pet friendly there too, and it's always
We love our neighbor pets. Yeah.
When you have them all around the neighborhood there, which you will, you'll probably see them walk by all the time. Any other comments or things you would like to bring up here, AJ, before we let you get back to work?
I just want to thank you immensely, for considering me for this, for having me on. You know,
it's our pleasure.
It was really unexpected. So for me, I'm rarely in one of these. I can't remember the last time I actually sat down and did a podcast or some sort of interview of this sort. I just want to say thank you, and just to welcome everyone. You're welcome anytime, and come on over. We'll play with some wine. We'll take some things together. We'll have a great time.
That sounds fantastic. I will definitely put that on my to-do list. Before you leave, though, give us information, how people can get a hold of you, how they can check you out, how they can contact you, address, websites, Instagram, Facebook, everything.
Okay. Yes. All of the above. All right. So My Instagram, my personal Instagram, which I answer to everybody that reaches out to me. It's my full name without dashes or spaces, so it's AJOJEDAPONS, right? At A, and you know, so with the. And then for Temperance, our email address is temperancewinebar@gmail.com. Again, no spaces or dots. Temperancewinebar@gmail.com. The Instagram is @TemperanceNYC. And we are on Resi, if you're looking to make reservations. The email again, TemperanceNYC.com.
And your address?
It's 40 Carmine Street, and that's between Bedford and Bleecker. NYC 10014.
And a phone number?
And you're actually open till 11 p.m. tonight? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. till 11. In the weekends, Fridays and Saturday, we open a little bit later, you know. And then we open for brunch on Saturdays and Sundays from 12 to 4. And then on Sundays, we close at 9.
Are you there
the
every day?
Early day? Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm here Tuesday through Saturday, mainly. You know, Sundays, I try to leave Virgil, my AGM, to take care of the business. But,
sure.
Yeah, I'm generally here Tuesday through Saturday. You know, it's just nice being here. It's like my place, my own, you know. And
yeah. Well,
the face of Temperance. I want to see everybody that comes in. You know, we're at this early stage where, like, I just kind of want to, you know, make sure that everybody's taken care of and things are running smoothly, et cetera.
That's great. TemperanceWineBar.com, is it?
Yeah, TemperanceNYC.com.
NYC.
TemperanceNYC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, TemperanceNYC.com. All right, everybody out there, you know where they're located now. And if you're listening to this anywhere in New York, then get there. And anywhere else, find a trip. It sounds like a great way to try different wines that you are not going to go out and buy a bottle. And you can also get a little bit of education with that bottle of wine, too, which if you go to the store and grab a bottle, you're not going to get the education that you're going to get there. So it is worth the stop. And AJ, thank you so very much for taking your time tonight and joining us. It was fantastic. Again, congratulations on your award, and hope you get many more.
Thank you very much, Ron. It was really a pleasure. And thank you again, you and Mike as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good evening. Appreciate it.
Have a good
night. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well,
yes, definitely.
No, there they are. You know what surprises me is I didn't hear a New York accent. You know, I was expecting somebody. Yeah,
or,
hey, how you doing? You know,
or what? A Spanish accent. Yeah. I mean, he's born and raised in Venezuela. No accent at all. I mean, it's just. It surprised me too because I was sort of expecting something. Nothing at all there. No
good.
Accents of any type or anything.
Yeah, totally good.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, what a location. That is not.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's not cheap in Manhattan, that's for sure.
That's not. No, not cheap at all. Yeah.
No.
That's probably why he has to stay open 5 or 7 days a week and be there to, you know, just to make it. But being sold out like he is, that's just.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
it's just fantastic.
Hope it continues on and, yeah, it does well for him. So.
It's a great concept, though. Having all the different wines. Now, if anybody wants to check it out, their wine list, you can go to Temperance NYC and look at the menu, and the menu will list the first two or three pages is the food, but then it goes into the wine. And you can... You know, it has a little information of different things you can do and all that. But then it goes into the wines, and it lists the wines. And, oh, my gosh, what a diversified list. It is just amazing how many different wines he has and how many not mainstream. That's not the words I was looking for, but how many different ones that are there that you normally don't consider or think about and all that, and you get a chance to taste them here that you would never think about any other way. So it's a great concept, a great idea, a great place. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I don't.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, I was just looking at the subway. I know people travel. They either walk or they travel by subway in New York City. So take the Washington Square stop, and it's about three and a half blocks or so from the Washington Square W4 Street there. And all the trains, they call them, stop there. So, yeah, check it out. I've been there. I've been in New York a few times, and it's a scary place. But anyway.
It is. I've only been there a couple of times. I'm still scared.
For somebody who's not used to that, the traffic, the pedestrians, everybody walks. It's incredible. And then everybody else drives. So it was just a wow, totally different world up there. But take the train. And I took several subways. It's just wow, or several trains. God, I call them subways. They're going to hunt me down or something.
Trains, yeah. you jump on the train. Yeah. When I was there, guy said, have you been to the Statue of Liberty? And I said, no, not yet. He says, well, go there. He said, take this train to that train to this train, this train to that train. Then you can get off and take the ferry. And I go, wait, I'm not from here. I don't remember. So he whipped out a piece of paper and he wrote it down and said, here, follow this. But it is. You can get anywhere by grabbing a train.
Yep, exactly. A lot of people.
Park your car.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with parking. Very good. Yeah. But
it's like New Orleans. Once you go to New Orleans, too, you the same thing. You park your car and you walk around everywhere because it's impossible to find a parking spot.
So that was good. Good guest.
Yeah,
I appreciate him coming on.
Yeah, what. Kudos to him for his awards. I mean, open 3 months and the best in the world. I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Let me see.
Public service announcement. Daylight saving time ends this Sunday morning. So set your alarms for 2 o'clock in the morning, get up and put the clock back 1 hour and go back to bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh, so that's going to all of a sudden,
here we are. So we're going to, in fact, it's going to be lighter earlier and darker earlier. And it's going to be weird getting up in more light.
Yeah.
And about 5 o'clock, it's going to start getting dark. You're going to go, oh my gosh, it must be time for bed. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That works.
So Sunday, the time falls back an hour.
Sunday, it falls back. Falls back.
Well,
and I don't think there's anything else. Oh, wait a minute. Let me, before we leave, let me dig out, and it's here because I have it handy. I always do. We are in November now, and let's see what November has to offer as far as wine holidays and wine months. Monday was the first. Monday was Enomavro Day, which is a name of a grape. That was that day. The 7th coming up is International Merlot Day.
Mm.
And then on the 9th is International Tempranillo Day, either the 9th or the second Thursday of November or the 11th or the 12th. I don't know because it gave me all sorts of different dates for that. But Tempranillo Day is coming up, International Tempranillo, which is a great, by the way. So those are the ones coming up the first of the month. November, like so many other months, are designated different wine months for different states or areas. November has none. So that's unusual, but they don't have any state that's celebrating a holiday or a wine month on November.
Wow.
Odd. Yeah. So I just remember that we got ourselves a new month here. So those are the new reasons to drink, as if we need one. Yeah.
You don't need any reason. Just enjoy drinking.
That's right. Enjoy
You don't need a reason. Let me do an audio thing real quick. I think I fixed it. Tell me if you hear this.
Okay.
Did you hear it?
When are you going to play it?
You didn't play it? You didn't hear it?
I didn't hear it, no. No, I did not.
It went over. I know it went over the stream, but you're not hearing
it.
I have
Facebook open up to the All About Wine here, and I've had it streaming quietly next to me, and every once in a while I'll listen, and I'll hear me delayed, which is a weird thing, but I'll hear me delayed.
Yeah, I know.
But it's been coming through on Facebook. You know, the audio's been coming through, and it's been going on very well on Facebook, so... But for some reason, I have not been able to hear you at all through mine.
When I play the exit song, which I can do, you won't hear it, but we'll hear it here and over Facebook. And well, wait a minute. That means you're not hearing it on Blog Talk Radio? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Anyway, so I guess that'll do it for the show. Let me try one more thing here. Just turn on. No, I can't turn on both channels. So anyway, it doesn't matter. So we're done. Because if you're not hearing it through Blog Talk Radio, then that means Blog Talk Radio isn't hearing it, which is pointless. I could play the video.
But when you played, you hit the button for the opening. We heard that.
Mm-hmm. Because I was playing it through Blog Talk Radio. I was playing Blog Talk Radio's mono version, which is
not as good as
the stereo version.
We're talking here on Blog Talk Radio, so everything is going through that. But then it picked it up on Facebook when you throughout the show. So I don't know.
I'm
But I haven't been able to hear any of your tests.
Okay, let me do one more test real quick. Hold on just a second. That's good there. And this doesn't go through? No. They probably heard that over the air. Ringing.
I heard some phone ringing in the background during the show. Was that you?
That wasn't me. No.
Okay. No, that was, must have been him then. No, that must have been through AJ. He must have, because no, it wasn't me. It was, I heard it come in, and I'm thinking, that you must be playing. And I thought maybe you were trying to get my attention. So I went back and looked to see if you left me a note or a message or something. And
let me try this.
I hear that.
You hear that?
Yes.
You did.
I did.
I got that. I got that fixed. Okay, good.
Yeah. I also bought myself a present, and it arrived Tuesday. The Family Tree Cemetery Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves. I got the hard copy that came in for me. Yes, I did.
Wow.
It's a fascinating little book. I started to read it. Well, I'm going to read it,
what's
and I'm going to send it up to my sister. It is under eyeglasses and eyeballs.
I
got the hard copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I figured I'll get it, read it, and send it to my sister since she's into genealogy and all that. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I ordered the book and
very well.
started perusing through it and started to read a little bit of it and all that. Really, there's some great things in it, great information in there. I just already noticed, the cemeteries and things, like you were saying the other day. It's something I'm going to probably try to get through over the next week and see how much of it I can get read.
I'm still
everyone out there
going through it.
But
there's a lot of information.
A lot of information
on it. Okay. Well, it's 8:04, 8:05 now. We'll close the show. We'll see you all next Thursday, which is November something else, the 11th. And thank you for tuning in.
Veterans Day next Tuesday. You know, hug a veteran between now and all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Thank you
all again
for tuning in.
Have a great week.
AJ, thanks for taking the time out tonight again also. And again, congratulations on your award. And
best of luck.
Thank you. Best of luck, Tim.
Yep.
And we'll see all of you next week.
Next week. There we go. You should hear this.
I hear it.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwineupr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Wait.
Women.
Okay. Had it on loop. Had it on loop, so that's how I do the, what's that thing that says, stay tuned, we'll be on in a minute. I have to put the video on a continuous loop, and then... I forget to turn it off there.
Everything shut down?
One of those things.
Okay, green room.